All right, how about that? Thanks, Bill. He's going to keep me straight. Anyway, you can tell I don't do this very much, right? But when you think of membership to a club or an Xfinity or, you know, DirecTV or whatever it is that you're a member of, what do you expect? What is your expectation for membership? Anybody?
Loyalty.
Loyalty? Service. Service? Anything else?
Perfect service.
Perfect service. You want it right, right? You're paying for it. You want it right.
Benefits?
I'm sorry?
Participation?
Yeah, if you treated, you want that special one-on-one treatment, right? For anything you've done. I think one of the examples of a book that I read recently talked about membership to a country club. Now, I'll never know what that's like, but the idea of a country club is you have certain, you want the place to be clean, you want to make sure when you're there, people are snapping to your every whim. If you don't expect to go to the bathroom, the toilet paper be empty. I mean, you don't want anything that's out of line. The expectation is you're paying for a service, and if it's not there, you have a problem. I know there's been times where I've gone to an amusement park, and I've paid for entrance in the amusement park, but for some reason, there's been some malfunction or something in some of the rides or those types of things, so those were shut down, and that might have been my favorite ride, and it was kind of that expectation was, wow, I should get my money back. You know, that's the ride I came to ride, and it's not there, so that shouldn't be the way it is. So hopefully, you can understand that that's not the way church membership is supposed to be. Let me read to you, first of all, we're going to kind of read backwards here, but the first scripture I want to read is from 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to kind of stay in that area, so if you want to get to that location, 1 Corinthians 12. The first verse, and it's just very quick that I'm going to read as part of that, is verse 27. We're going to come and work backwards. We're going to do some of the earlier passages soon, and this is a familiar area of Corinthians, I'm sure, that once I start reading it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Each one of you is part of it. Now, I want you to now kind of think about and help me with the rest of what I'm going to talk about today, and that is, what should church membership mean? What should church membership mean? Anybody?
Service.
Service. What else?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Huge part of it. Okay, family.
Commitment.
Commitment, forgiveness. Anyone else?
Unity.
Unity, okay. I can't talk on that one. That's his. Glenn talks about that in 2 weeks, right, Glenn? So I can't go there. Okay, but yes. What else? Anything else?
Compassion.
Now, isn't it true, though, that there are some similarities in membership and that there are some things that the church affords you when you're a member? Now, it's not an exclusive situation, at least it's not supposed to be, but, I mean, a fellowship is kind of an expectation. There are services that are provided for you. I mean, the pastors will come, one of the pastors or deacon or somebody, if you're sick, will probably come see you. There's different things. There's Sunday school classes that you can be part of. There's youth group. There's Awanas. There's all kinds of services and programs that the church affords to you. We have an awesome organization, CBS, that meets here as well. You don't have to be a member of our church to go here, I mean, to do that, but there's all kinds of services and programs that membership does afford you when you go to church. In today's church, let me tell you, there is an epidemic, I think, of sorts, that is going on in church membership. And that epidemic is, and I know we've heard, I think Pastor Larry preach on this before, but the smorgasbord approach to churches. And what I mean by that is whatever a particular church has, you kind of go to that church for that particular desire. For example, you might be a member of this church, but you might do something else at Tawnytown Baptist, and you might take your kids to New Hope, or you might, I mean, all these different things that you kind of have a base church that you do, but then you kind of feed on all the other surrounding churches because you have needs that need to be met. I want to tell you that the churches don't know what to do with that. I can tell you that Westminster Baptist struggles with what to do with that. The idea that the history of a church is you join the church and you become actively involved in the ministries of Westminster Baptist Church. So I'm not telling you that what's out there and what's being done is necessarily wrong. We just don't know how to deal with that because it's a relatively new phenomenon. I'd say over the last 5 years or so, And it's really hit our church probably here over the last couple years. So let's think about what it takes or what it's needed to be a church, a membership-wise. Now, that was a spoof, obviously, and there were some things in there that, as I heard them, I was like, well, we do some of those things, but in a good way. You know, I mean, the idea of joy, we know it's not Java, others, and you, and some of the ways we do certain things aren't bad, but I think what that was just meant to be is what traditionally has been sometimes what membership and being a member and becoming a member has been in local churches. So I want us to think about, really today, I really want us to focus on Westminster Baptist Church. I want you to think about different reasons why you are here. Some people in this room I know are here because it's Sunday morning and this is where you're supposed to be on Sunday morning. All right, there's a bit of a obedience issue, which is good, because we do know that God calls us to be members of the church. We just read that. And we want to be part of the body, so there's some obedience there. But if that's the only reason why you're here, I'd say something's missing. Some of us are here because we have a specific need that we need. All right, we really need the fellowship of Christian people. It's a kind of a recharge for you to get through the rest of your week. And I'm not going to tell you that that's a bad thing either, because we do get drugged down by society and the world throughout the week. No matter, you know, if we do our personal Bible time during the week or we do our personal prayer time, all the different things that we do to try to keep us charged, by Sunday, I don't know about you, but I'm usually feeling kind of spiritually drained a little bit. And I need to come into communion with saints. I really love the singing of the hymns. And, you know, I know I've shared this with you guys before, but on Sunday mornings, I get the best of all worlds. I love hymns. I love hymns. I love praise and worship. So, I mean, the songs that we do in the praise and worship service, the second service, they're all praise and worship. But the services, the songs we sing in both services, I love them both. You know, so I get to feast on both. So that's kind of a blessing that I get. But I know most of us have things in our minds that make what we want in a church. And one of the things I really want us to focus on today is that your needs are important. Your needs are important, but what I really want you to be thinking about is what are we missing here at Westminster Baptist Church? I don't know how many of you are bulletin readers, but we have some issues at Westminster Baptist Church. We're a good church. I think we have been blessed at this church with the facility. We have a staff. We're adding more staff on. Except for that youth pastor, I think everything else is really good at this church right now. And they're working on getting rid of him too. But anyway, what I really want you to be thinking about, though, is what's wrong? What are we doing that's not right? Because I'm going to tell you there's something wrong at Westminster Baptist Church. There is. We are not meeting the needs of this community, and I want you to be thinking about what we need to do. But specifically, I want you to be thinking about what you need to do to meet those needs. Now, I want you to know that there are many people. I look around in the sanctuary, and there's a lot of people that I know are very, very active in Westminster Baptist Church and the community. Now, I want to make sure I follow up with that second part, because it's not all about what you do at Westminster Baptist Church. One of the things that I've felt very committed to, and I know I've shared with a few people, is as a youth group, we've done mission trips to different places in the country. We've done all kinds of different things like that. But I think we've really kind of missed the boat on Westminster. And we've really not reached out to Westminster. One of the things as a youth group that we're doing now is a couple Wednesdays ago, we did a random acts of kindness. We went to Shoppers, and on Wednesday night, we took our youth group over there, and what we did was help carry things to cars. We put carts back in the cart corral. Even the person that goes gets the carts, we told him to rest for the day, and we went and brought the carts back to the grocery store. And we just, the only purpose was for us to try to bless the people at Shoppers. Now, I can tell you that that has a effect at Shoppers. Now, I'll tell you, the first effect was people were scared to death. Okay? I'll be honest with you. When we first got there, people were intimidated. What do you want? You know, everybody wants something, right? So their attitude was, what do you guys want? You want, you know, are you taking a donation for something? And so we had little papers to hand out that just basically said we didn't want anything. So we were prepared for that one. So we don't want anything. We just want to bless you today in God's name, in God's love. So we did that, and that was a huge success on two fronts. On one front, it was neat for the youth to do. And I know that not all the youth wanted to do it. You know, sometimes, you know, it'd be wonderful. I could stay here and say I've done such an awesome job as a youth pastor that they were all just biting at the bit and wanting to get out there and do things for other people. But that would be a lie. I mean, that would be a lie. That's not the case. There were some that were. But there were some that drug their feet to there. And you know, what's neat, though, is after about 10, 15 minutes, people started warming up. I mean, some people were uncomfortable, but by the time we were there for about 10, 15 minutes, things really got, I think, got good. We got a letter from the store management thanking us and how wonderfully organized it was and how pleasant the children were and all the compliments they got. So, I mean, the point I want to tell you is we're doing that once a month, not random acts of kindness, but once a month on a Wednesday. Instead of coming here and doing what we normally do as a youth group, we're going to go out into the community and do something. We tried to line up to go to Carol Lutheran Village, but there's a lot of paperwork that we couldn't get done in time. So we're going to go to Carol Lutheran Village and just sit with some seniors and just kind of talk with them and play board games with them or whatever for our Wednesday night program. We really, I don't know if you've heard, but we're really trying to have an active hand in Awana's this year. That's not just once a month. We're trying to do that every Wednesday of the month we're doing that. So as a youth group, I can tell you that we've failed, but we're trying to fix it. Okay, we've done a lot of things right in our youth group, but you know, every time you think you've got it right, God kind of brings to your face something that needs to be fixed. And I could tell you, and I told Pastor Larry that for me it was a God wink. I don't know if you experienced those very often, but to me it was a God wink that I was heavy-hearted over the summer about how we can change up our youth group. And in that heavy-heartedness, I met with our youth leadership team. That's the youth who want to take a leadership role, not the adults. And we talked about what to do, and they helped me come up with this idea. They were very receptive to the idea of doing these things that we're talking about doing on Wednesdays. But we've got the perfect youth group this year to be an outreaching youth group. It's kind of neat how God gives you what you need. Okay, the whole idea doesn't give the qualified, he qualifies the giver, you know, type thing. And what was neat about this whole thing was we were looking for things to do. And I know it's not ideal that we had a problem getting Awana started this year, but for Westminster Baptist Youth Group, it was good that we had a problem getting Awana started this year. Because we kind of had to look inside and say, we've really done nothing as a youth group to support Awana's. And Awana's is an awesome mentoring possibility for our youth group to be able to reach down and work with younger people and make friendships and all those types of things that we can do. So I wouldn't say that Awana's struggles maybe were because of the youth group, but for me it was a God wink where God's saying, you know, here it is. This is right in front of you. You don't need to go to West Virginia. You don't need to go to, you know, I always joke about mission trips. We're heading, for example, in July 19th and 24th of this year, we're heading down to Morehead City, North Carolina. There are mission teams all over the United States that are heading to Baltimore that same summer. So it really kind of opens your eyes that, you know, there's mission fields right here. And yeah, it's neat to go on a mission trip and it's exciting and glamorous and all the things that you need to go, you really feel like you're helping people. But there are people in our area that we're not helping that we need to be helping. There are people that aren't making it into our doors. And you know, the church mentality has always been, bring them here and we can get it done. That church mentality isn't working so much anymore. It's not bringing them here. We got to go out to them. And we've got to figure out ways to get our church out to them. The church right next door was kind of a neat thing. I was talking to their pastor over the summer, and they actually have a church service that meets in Westminster Park one time during the summer. So they actually have church, and they kind of let the neighborhood know what's going to happen and invite people, and they go to Westminster Park and have this service right there. I don't know how many times a year, but they were doing it. When we were doing our spring fair, they were doing it that day. So we were able to use their parking lot. But that, I mean, those are the kinds of things that we need to think about as Westminster Baptist Church to see what we can do. But let's come back to what are you doing here at Westminster Baptist Church? You know, so often as pastors and as leaders of the church, we hear all the things that people are not happy with. It's pretty commonplace. I mean, we didn't like the songs Lynn picked today, or I didn't really like the songs Glenn picked, or, you know, pastor's sermon wasn't what I wanted to be, or why do they even let that youth pastor speak? And I mean, we could go on and on of all the different things and complaints that we hear, because the focus often when we come to church is, how is Westminster Baptist Church going to meet my needs today? I mean, most of what our mentality is that. You know, what are they doing to meet my needs? Let me tell you, one of the things that I didn't hear when we did our what does church membership mean, that I think is one of the huge deficits of our church, and that is prayer. When you are become a member of Westminster Baptist Church, you should become a prayer warrior for Westminster Baptist Church and for God's kingdom and for Westminster and for our government and for all the different things of this world. Now, I know there's people in this room that are prayer warriors. I know that. I mean, I've felt it through my illnesses that I've had over the past few years. I've just felt the prayers of people from this church. But I don't think in many of our lives in this room it's an expectation that prayer is important. Not prayer is important because when you wake up, it's a good way to start your day, and it's part of, just like coming to church for some of us, is just part of the fabric of what we do all week. Prayer needs to be so much more than that. You know, we've talked about as pastors different things that we'd like to do to increase the prayer life. You know, I can't tell you, you can't really organize prayer. You know, we have to some degree. I know Don Klapka's had some prayer breakfasts that have been awesome. We've had some other prayer meeting things that we've had. You know, prayer meeting in the churches on Wednesdays has pretty much died. Around the country, prayer meetings on Wednesday. We used to do it traditionally. I grew up with Wednesday night prayer meeting. I know we had it here at Westminster Baptist Church for a while, and it just kind of faded away. We had, I don't know, Larry, what, 5-6 people that were coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights? It just kind of faded away. I want to challenge us that as a church, whether it's a prayer meeting or whatever it may be, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people that when we come to church, we're looking to meet a need, not just get a need. I mean, how many of us, when we wake up in the morning, can ask ourselves, what am I going to do today when I go to church to meet the needs of someone else? I would think most of us, there are some in this room, I'm sure do that, but there are many of us in this room that they don't. That thought never crosses your mind. I can tell you one of the things that would excite me to no end would be to, on Sunday morning, as I'm walking through the church, seeing pockets of people that are praying together. They come to find out that this person over here is having surgery. So a person kind of gathers 4 or 5 people up together and they pray for that person. Or they find out that this person over here, a student, has a test or something that's coming up that really is really important to them. And a group of people pray around that person. I would love to have to elbow my way through the church hallways because there's so many groups that are praying for each other and caring for each other. You know, love is an important piece of what Westminster Baptist Church has to be. Now, I'm going to read a passage to you. It's 1 Corinthians 13. You're very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. You're not familiar with it in the way that I'm going to bring it to you right now. You're used to going to a wedding and hearing what I'm about to read. But I want you to put that out of your mind because I know that's the first thing that's come to your mind. I want you to think about Westminster Baptist Church and is what I'm about to read what Westminster Baptist Church is about. Okay, let me read this to you. Again, 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Is that explaining Westminster Baptist Church? Are we a church of love that when people come in, they feel the embrace of Westminster Baptist Church and God's love through us? I can't tell you how important that is. I know one of the things we do in our busy lives is we get so used to passing people and asking them how they're doing, you know, those types of things, never really intending to hear what that person has to say. I mean, I could tell you that I might be walking by someone and ask them how they're doing, and when they actually start telling me, I have to stop and kind of come back because my body language really said that I wasn't really listening to you. It was just a greeting. We need to be people at Westminster Baptist Church who cares what's going on in people of our church. Now, I'm going to tell you a little testimonial here for a minute. For a few years now, I can tell you that there has been an issue with a particular person in this church that kind of caused me not to not do my job, but not to do it with the right heart. You know, I was wronged by someone by this church. Now, it's not important who that person is. What's important is the fact that it held me back. It held me back. Now, this isn't a service about forgiveness, but I want to tell you that you can do, and you heard Crystal's testimony last week if you were here, you can do all the right things, but not have it right in your heart. And I want you to think about that as church members. Some of us in this room have a feeling that we've been wronged by someone in the church, or the church has done something to us, or someone at the church has done something. We can list probably 5 feet long different reasons why we're right in being angry at the church. And even if you're doing good things, I'm telling you that you're not going to be a functioning, really well-functioning member of the body if you're having something that's inhibiting your heart. Now, it's not a coincidence in my mind either that today was about having communion. One of the important aspects of communion is you really shouldn't have anything against your brother or sister and take communion. I mean, that's scriptural. You're supposed to have that clear. You need to be asking for forgiveness or forgiving someone. Those types of things need to happen before we take communion. So today, I want you to be thinking about that. I want to even challenge you at this point. If you took communion today and you have something against someone, get it right. Come back to the second service and do it again. I'm not trying to build up the numbers for the second service, okay? I'm really not, okay? But I want you to be taking and doing things at this church for the reason God gave them to us, not because it's the first Sunday of the month. I mean, I know everybody in this room took communion for one reason, because it's that first Sunday. Now, some of you might think further into it and want to remember the body and the blood and all the important things about communion. But God put things in our lives to keep us moving towards Him. Communion is one of those things. Communion is an important one of those things. So we want to make sure that our hearts are right when we take communion. As church members at Westminster Baptist Church, we need to have things that are expectations of you guys, of us. Now, I got to tell you that when I talk about the inhibited heart, and I can point my fingers out, I had to pray hard about that with me this week. Actually, it was last week, where I had to really pray about, God, I need to go forward. I need to let go and go forward. And for some of you, that might be what's keeping you from what you need to be here at Westminster Baptist Church. Now, I keep mentioning Westminster Baptist Church. That is where you are. But whatever church a person is a member of needs to be where they're invested. You are there for a reason. You're not there by chance. I can tell you that every person sitting in this seat is, God's not sitting up in heaven going, oh, look, Marvin's here today. No. God knows you're supposed to be here. God knows that you have things to do, not only here, but in the community, at your workplace. You know, as a functioning member of Westminster Baptist Church, you should be a light, as we've heard many times, salt and light at wherever you are, whether it's the grocery store, at your place of business. I'm a school teacher. For years, I used it as an excuse that I was a school teacher, that I couldn't mention God in my classroom. For years, I used that as an excuse. And it's true. I'm not allowed to do that. I cannot initiate anything about God in my classroom. But there's all kinds of things that can happen in my classroom that God comes up that I can respond to. And I kind of covertly, of sorts, kind of work that one a little bit. I know the system, and there's certain things you're allowed and not allowed to do. But for a lot of years, that kind of was my way. So I want you to be thinking about your lives and what you can do. Let me go back to, I definitely don't want to miss the main scripture that I want to talk about, and that is 1 Corinthians 12, starting with, I didn't write it down. All of a sudden I got wrapped up in what I was doing and I lost it. Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, I would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be arranged. The parts in the body, every one of them, just as he, I'm sorry. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Now, it goes on to talk about the eye talking to the hand and all those types of things. But I want you to know that at Westminster Baptist Church, this church can function without you, okay? But have you ever seen a handicapped person? They function. They can do pretty well, but they're limited in what they can do because of their handicap. When one of us in our church is not functioning fully, we are a handicapped church. Can we still be effective? Yes. Can we still function? Yes. But we will not reach our full potential without the members of this church being functioning members of this church. So again, if we even have a hangnail on a finger, that might, you know, not everybody in the scripture from 1 Corinthians 12 goes on to talk about the small parts, the supposedly less significant parts, and how God has put emphasis on those parts. Even the smallest part of the body, when it's not right, there's an issue. So I want you to consider that in being a church member, and it is awesome that you're here today. I am so happy. I praise God for your attendance today. But I want you, number one, challenge you, as I've already have, and the praise team, you guys can start coming up. I want to get ready for this. But I'm not praise team, I'm sorry, the pianist. Wrong service. But anyway, I want you to be challenged to the fact that if you took communion today and you know something's not right in your heart, I want you to get it right. And I'd love to see you back here next service. The next thing I want you to do is I want you today and make this a regular part of your Sunday. And we'll start with Sunday, but I'd love for it to go throughout your whole week, to reach out and meet the need of someone here at Westminster Baptist Church. Actively talk to someone that you maybe wouldn't talk to before. Find out a little bit about them. Maybe you can meet a need. You know, it would be awesome as the second service ends that I have to wait for the crowds of people praying around other people to finish before I can make my way out of here. That would be an ultimate answer of my prayer. But even if that doesn't happen, I want you to feel challenged today that you need to be a functioning member of this body, or we as a church are going to be working in a handicapped capacity. And I don't, you know, I read a book just recently that really meant a lot to me, in the fact that often a lot of my excuses for not doing things over the past year or so have been, you know, I remember when this was happening at our church, and this was an awesome time at Westminster Baptist Church. I'm almost always reverted back to the time when I was in Buddy and Julia's classroom. It was the glory days of Westminster Baptist Church. That is the wrong way to think at Westminster Baptist Church. Our glory days should not be looking 20 years ago. Our glory days should be what's happening tomorrow. What's happening next week? What's happening the week after that? Our glory days need to be the future. We have to stop living in the past. And I really urge you guys to be doing that today. I am pumped to do some new things here at Westminster Baptist Church to meet the community of Westminster. I think God has awesome things in store for us. We just have to listen. We have to be willing, and we have to be obedient. And I pray that you do those things today. Why don't you stand with me as I pray? Dear Lord God, I thank you so much for the people of this church, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've blessed us here at Westminster Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that we don't be complacent in this place, Lord. I pray that we use no person or no activity or no nothing to stand in the way of our service to you in this church. Lord, I thank you for the families you've blessed us with. I pray how that we are able to bring our families involved in whatever we do, dear God, that it's not a one-person activity, that it's a family activity in getting involved. Lord, most of all, we just know that you want this church, Westminster Baptist Church, to be a functioning body. We don't want it to be a handicapped body, Lord. And I just pray that even though we can function without a few, our function is much stronger with the whole. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that as we leave here today, Lord, we look for ways to be part of that whole, a functioning part of that whole, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we typically do, this is an altar call time. It is a tradition of what we do. And I want this not to be like a communion where you don't, maybe if you don't take it seriously or you're not really thinking about what you're doing. I want you to think today about how God wants you to move. That doesn't mean you have to come forward. If you feel like you want to, if you want to join this church, yes. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, awesome. Do it today. But it might just be a time where you need to come to the front and say, you know, I've become complacent in my faith. I've become complacent at Westminster. I've let the 20% do 80% of the work for too long. It's time for me to get going. It's time for me to be a functioning part of Westminster Baptist Church. So I pray for you, if that's what you want to do today, you can do it where you sit, but you also can do it up here.